Sri Mahaprabhu Mandir. How beautiful is Srila Prabhupada named this project, this temple, Mahaprabhu Mandir. And so many changes have happened since I've come. All of you new faces, so many young devotees are here. When I became a devotee in ISKCON in 1978, there were literally five or six of us who were college graduates, Indian Bhakti devotees, that was it. Srila Prabhupada wanted very much that Indians should become devotees because Bharat Bhumi Te Hoilo Janmajar Janmo Sartho Kori Koro Koro Upakar. This is one of the instructions of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Bharat Bhumi Te Hoilo Janmajar. Those fortunate souls who have taken birth in Sri Bharat Bhumi, they only have one purpose in life, the most greatest purpose, Janmo Sartho Kori Koro Koro Upakar, that please spiritualize your lives, make your lives Krishna conscious, learn about Krishna, learn about who you are, learn about the purpose of life, and then what do you do with this learning? Koro Koro Upakar. Also go out and tell the people of the world about Krishna consciousness. This is the only reason why a living entity is given birth in Bharata Bhumi. So, at that time, it was very difficult. Srila Prabhupada had influenced so many people of the West, Americans, Europeans, Australians, by his hard work and teaching. And many, many devotees were coming and becoming devotees. But Srila Prabhupada, one time in Bombay, on Juhu Beach, when he was walking in the morning, he was challenged by one of his disciples. He said, Srila Prabhupada, why Indians are not becoming devotees? And Prabhupada was very calm, and he said, they will come, and once they come, they will never leave. So, in my very lifetime, it is wonderful to see how so many devotees from Indian bodies, you all have come here to the Western world to make your lives successful materially. You've taken the challenge of crossing the seas and coming so far away from your homeland. But while coming here, so expertly, you have been guided and you have found your own culture. You have found Krishna. You have found the Gita philosophy, the philosophy of Srimad Bhagavatam. And you are so enthusiastically participating all together. All of you are congregating and glorifying the Supreme Personality of Godhead, which is the only purpose of human life, and it is the only way one can be completely satisfied. So thank you very much. Thank you for being devotees. Thank you for helping Srila Prabhupada in this movement. Thank you for performing devotional service, and also thank you for preaching to other people and bringing them in the fold of Krishna consciousness. We will start with the shloka now. Katvango nam rajeshir gyatve yattam ihasu ihayusaham. Muhurtat sarvam utsrujya gatavan abhayam harim. Katvanga, King Katvanga, Nama, name, Raja Rishi, saintly king, Kyatva, thy knowledge. Iyatam, duration, iha, in this world, ayusha, of one's life, muhurtat, within only a moment, sarvam, everything. Usrijya. Leaving aside. Gatavan. Had undergone. Abhayam. Fully safe. Harim. The personality of Godhead. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. The saintly king, Katvanga, after being informed that the duration of his life would be only a moment more, at once freed himself from all material activities and took shelter of the supreme personality, of the supreme safety, the personality of Godhead. Please repeat. The saintly king Katvanga, after being informed that the duration of his life would be only a moment more, at once freed himself from all material activities and took shelter of the supreme safety, the personality of Godhead. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. A fully responsible man should always be conscious of the prime duty of the present human form of life. The activities to meet the immediate necessities of material life are not everything. One should always be alert in his duty for attainment of the best situation in the next life. Human life is meant for preparing ourselves for that prime duty. Maharaj Katvanga is mentioned herein as a saintly king because even within the responsibility of the state management, he was not at all forgetful of the prime duty of life. Such was the case with other Rajarishis, saintly kings, like Maharaj Yudhishthira and Maharaj Parikshit. They were all exemplary personalities on account of their being alert in discharging their prime duty. Maharaj Katvanga was invited by the demigods in the higher planets to fight demons, and as a king, he fought the battles to the full satisfaction of the demigods. The demigods, being fully satisfied with him, wanted to give him some benediction for material enjoyment. But Maharaj Katvanga, being very much alert of his prime duty, inquired from the demigods about his remaining duration of life. This means that he was not as anxious to accumulate some material benediction from the demigods as he was to prepare himself for the next life. He was informed by the demigods, however, that his life would last only a moment longer. The king at once left the heavenly kingdom, which is always full of material enjoyment of the highest standard, and coming down to this earth, took ultimate shelter of the all-safe personality of Godhead. He was successful in his great attempt and achieved liberation. This attempt, even for a moment, by the saintly king, was successful because he was always alert of his prime duty. Maharaj Parikshit was thus encouraged by the great Sukadeva Goswami. Even though he had only 7 days left in his life to execute the prime duty of hearing the glories of the Lord in the form of Srimad Bhagavatam, by the will of the Lord, Maharaj Parikshit instantly met the great Sukadeva Goswami, and the great treasure of spiritual success left by him is nicely mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. There is this word here that Srila Prabhupada is again and again mentioning, prime duty. Actually, the first and second cantos of Srimad Bhagavatam are very important. It is the introduction to the purpose of life. And also Srila Prabhupada, he translated the first canto when he was in India before he came to the West. And he took great troubles to make sure that everything Srila Prabhupada wanted to say, the essence, the sar of Srimad Bhagavatam, of our Shastra, of Vaishnava philosophy, was put into the purpose of Srila Prabhupada. So it was very enjoyable. And again, the experience is that we hear the essence of Vedic knowledge is given in the purpose of Srimad Bhagavatam. So here, the first step in God realization, will go back a couple of shlokas, starting on the 11th one. Sukadeva Goswami first, actually, he is glorifying Srimad Bhagavatam and spiritual life. Sukadeva Goswami is putting the Mahatmya of what it is, the benefits of hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, the benefits of hearing spiritual subject matters, to Parikshit Maharaj. And after speaking the Bhagavatam, the Mahatmya, which is the essence or the benefits, then he comes into the subject matter of Srimad Bhagavatam. So while he is introducing, he is actually giving Parikshit Maharaj a little bit of introduction about himself. And he is telling Parikshit Maharaj that I was actually a Brahmavadi. I was fully realized that this material, the nature of this material world and the nature of the spiritual world. And therefore, as soon as I took birth, I left my home and went into the forest. But my father, his father being attached to his son, he sent some devotees after him. And he said, you go and tell him some of the qualities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, so that maybe he can become attracted from this Brahmavadi stage into actually becoming a devotee of Krishna and understanding the wonderful qualities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And two shlokas were spoken by the disciples of Vyasadeva. One shloka, Baraha Pidham Natavara Vapuhu Karanayo Karanikaram. Many of you must know from the 10th canto. So this shloka describes the wonderful beauty of Krishna. And the other shloka they spoke to Sukadeva Goswami was the Vatsalya, was the how kind Krishna is to his devotees. That was the shloka. And that shloka described that even though Putana, she came disguised to give poison to baby Krishna. Krishna, after killing Putana, he actually gave her the gati, he gave her the destiny of becoming Krishna's mother in another leela, in another place. So this is how wonderful Krishna is. This is how loving Krishna is. And these were the two shlokas that were spoken to him and that immediately caught the attention of Sukadeva Goswami. That, oh, I am a Brahmavadi, but here the Supreme Personality of Godhead has such wonderful qualities. First he was attracted by the beauty of Krishna. And then after that he was attracted by the quality of Krishna. That Krishna can be so kind, Krishna can be so grateful that a woman disguised as a mother came with poison on her breasts, but after killing the lady, the demoness, he actually awarded her that may you become my mother and I will actually suck on your breasts and give you the pleasure of being my mother in another leela. So this is how we understand the beautiful qualities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then Sukadeva Goswami goes on to, when he starts the Srimad Bhagavatam explanation, it is here from the 11th shloka, when he says, O King, constant chanting of the holy name of the Lord after ways of the great authorities is the doubtless and fearless way of success for all, including those who are free from material desires, those who are desirous of all material enjoyment, and also those who are self-satisfied by dint of transcendental knowledge. And then the next shloka is, what is the value of a prolonged life which is wasted, inexperienced by years in this world? Better a moment of full consciousness, because that gives one a start in searching after his supreme interest. And then he is citing the example of Katavanga Maharaj, that look, he was such a great king. He had gone to the demigods. He could have asked for any boon. He could have enjoyed the material world like anything. But Katavanga Maharaj was always a practicing devotee. Even though he was a Raja, a king, usually kings have a lot of facility and passion, but he here is addressed as Raja Rishi. Along with being a Raja, along with having all the material opulences, he was always a Rishi at heart. He always was able to understand the true nature of the material world. And therefore, because he had prepared himself in the knowledge of Krishna consciousness, when the greatest attraction, the greatest maya came to him, the demigods were asking, ask for a boon, what is it that you want? He did not slip away. He did not fall down at that time. He said, you give me the greatest boon, and the greatest boon is time. We are all bound by time. Time is what directs us. Time is binding us in every way, and therefore we must be able to value time. We must understand, how much time do I have for a particular thing? For instance, we are here in this class for maybe another half an hour. We are bound by this half an hour's time. If we make the best use of it by paying attention to what is being said in class, then that is to our benefit. If we do not pay attention and let our minds go here and there, then we have not made best use of time. So here, Katavanga Maharaj, he said, the greatest boon you can give me is you can give, let me understand the value of my time. And therefore he asked the demigods, because the demigods, they know. They know which living entity on this earthly planet is going to live for how long. So he said, you please, you let me know, how long am I going to live for? Therefore I can prepare myself accordingly. And here Srila Prabhupada says, one muhurat. Of course, Srila Prabhupada is very intense and is mentioning one muhurat as one moment. But in many places, a muhurat is also described as 45 minutes. That is the length of one muhurat. However, whether it is one moment or 45 minutes, the time was very short. And immediately, Katavanga Maharaj, he prepared himself. He prepared himself to face that moment, which is the moment of trial, which is the moment that could decide as to what kind of body Katavanga Maharaj can receive. You see? So in the same way, we can also understand that every moment that we are leaving behind is also, we are leaving that life behind us. So just to say that when we change our bodies, when we die and take another body, that is the only time we change our lives. That is not so. Every minute when you come in contact with Krishna consciousness, or when there is an opportunity to make a sankalpa, that today, from today, I will be a good devotee. Maybe I should want to come to Mangalarti every day. Maybe I should want to live close to the temple. Maybe I should hear Srimad Bhagavatam very attentively. Maybe I should read Srila Prabhupada's books an hour, hour and a half every day. So many wonderful sankalpas a devotee can make in order to make steady advancement towards Krishna. And all these sankalpas are the same as Katavanga Maharaj. Katavanga Maharaj was also understanding that very soon my situation is going to change. Am I prepared for my situation, or am I not prepared for my situation? In the same way, all of us should also be thinking, that whatever situation I am in now, there is no guarantee that this situation will be favorable for me to perform Krishna consciousness. And therefore, one should be very prepared. In case if there is an unfavorable situation, then we can immediately know how to face that situation. There is a story I will tell you in relationship to how Katvanga Maharaj was so ready, so prepared for his spiritual life. This is a true story about 400 years ago. It is from a grantha which is very popular in Brajdham. It is called Bhaktamal. Some of you might have heard of this grantha. It has narrations of 532 greatest devotees of all different sampradayas in it. Our six Goswami's stories are there. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was mentioned. All the way from Krishna's times, greatest devotees, to the present age, their narrations are mentioned in the story. So in this Bhaktamal, there is a story of this one great disciple. His name was Khoji. The reason why he was called Khoji was he was always penetrating into the instructions and observations and behavior of his guru. Whatever his guru did, or however he behaved, or whatever he spoke, he took that extremely seriously and tried to understand the inner meaning of the behaviors of his Guru Maharaj. And therefore, the God brothers, they called him Khojiji. Wo hamesha khoj karte the. So, one time, his Guru Maharaj, they were living in Vrindavan, and his Guru Maharaj had a very big ashram. Many disciples were there, and his Guru Maharaj was a very elevated soul. So one time, his Guru Maharaj was passing urine under a banyan tree. And while passing urine, his Guru, he started to laugh very loudly. So Khojiji, everybody thought nothing of it. Maybe Guru Maharaj is laughing for whatever reason. But Khoji, this disciple, he said, no, there must be some rahasya, some secret is there, some reason is there for why my Guru is laughing while he is urinating, while he is passing water. Because usually when you are urinating, you do not speak or laugh or talk like that. So why has he, this is a strange behavior for him. So after he had, he approached his Guru and he said, Guru Maharaj, I want to know why is it that you laughed while you were urinating under the banyan tree. And his Guru Maharaj said, no, it's nothing. Why? I felt like laughing, so I laughed. He said, no, there has to be a reason. Everything that you do, there is a reason behind it. Please, I want to know. So his Guru Maharaj said, Khoji, this answer will be given to you by some saint. And you can go and ask some saint as to why I was laughing while I was urinating. So this was very strange. And Khoji, being a very sincere disciple, he said, can you put this up a little? So he went from ashram to ashram. So many mahants were there, and they had many disciples, and big temples were there. And he would ask for an interview from the mahant of the temple. And he would say, I have a question to ask you, and that is why I have come. So the mahant would say, yes, what is the question? He said, my guru, while passing water, while urinating, he was laughing. I want to know what is the reason. So the mahant would throw him out of the ashram. What kind of question have you got to me? How do I know why your guru was laughing while he was urinating? But Khoji was very serious, and he went to another ashram and another ashram. And everywhere he went with this question, dear Sadhuji, you please tell me, my Guru Maharaj was laughing while he was urinating under a banyan tree. What is the reason for it? And they all, same thing, he just got thrown out of the ashram. Finally, he went to Varanasi. And in Varanasi, there was this great saint called Kabir Das Ji. Many of you might have heard his name. So Kabir Das Ji was a Trikalakya devotee. He knew present, past, and future. And he went and asked him the same question. He said, Kabir Das Ji, I need to know this. It's already been 2 years. I have been going from ashram to ashram, and no one has given me an answer. Rather, they throw me out of their ashram. I want to know why my guru was laughing while he was urinating under a banyan tree. And to that, Kabir Das Ji, he said, your guru Maharaj was laughing because while he was passing water, while he was urinating, there was a banyan seed under the banyan tree. And that banyan seed started to float in the urine of his guru. And by seeing that this is the destiny of this banyan tree, he, out of distress, started to laugh. That this seed, one day, could have become a banyan tree. This was the destiny of this seed. But rather, alas, this destiny is such that he has chosen to float in the urine of a human being. So this is the destiny of most of us human beings. With great difficulty, we receive this human body. It is a very, very rare thing. And this human body, we could have actually achieved the kingdom of God. We can achieve the kingdom of Krishna. We can go back home, back to Godhead. We can get out of the cycle of 8,400,000 species. Such a wonderful destiny this jiva in this human form can achieve, but rather we have chosen to waste our lives in our own urine and the urine of this world. So it was a very grave meaning, you see. And this is exactly what the humans of the world are doing, because they are not inquiring into what is the purpose of life. They are not wanting to taste what is devotional life. How wonderful, how the Atma can be so satisfied by becoming a devotee of Krishna. Krishna Bhakti is the most wonderful thing, most joyous activity that a living entity can perform. And this story of Kojiji, this is what it explains. That little seed that could have one day become a huge banyan tree and could have served millions and millions of living entities, could have given shelter to so many living entities, could have had a life of hundreds of years, but rather it was being wasted in the urine. In the same way, there are so many human beings, we are being wasted in our own urine, running after sex life, running after material life, and not ever stopping to think or become serious as to what is the purpose of life. What should I be doing with this human life? There is a great saint. His name is... Anyway, when I remember, I'll tell you. He has mentioned in one place that in one drop of a man's semen, there are 1.7 million. There are 1.7 million jivas in one drop of semen. When the father and the mother, when they have intercourse in order to procreate, so many drops of semen are being exchanged. So you can imagine how many millions of living entities were candidates to get that one human body. Only one human body the mother is giving. But the candidates are millions. And all the candidates are our brothers and sisters. They were equally qualified to get that body, that human body, but only one got it. And all the other millions and millions of candidates were completely wasted. Who knows when they will get another chance? Who knows when they will, by rain, they will go up in the clouds, they will come and be showered on some grain. That grain will be eaten by some human being. That human being, then the grain will produce the semen. Then again, you stand in line with millions and millions of other brothers and sisters, and then again only one body may be received. and like this. So it is not by chance that any of us have received this human body. It is a gift of Krishna. We have been gifted. If millions of people are standing in line for one job and you have received it, what is it that you would say? Thank God, Hare Krishna. I got it. It was millions of people. How is it that I got it? There must be some wonderful mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In the same way, we should understand the rarity of this human life. It is very, very rare how we have received this wonderful body with these faculties with which we can understand the purpose of life. Again and again, Prabhupada is saying here, he's using words like alert, he's using words like prime duty. Why? Because Srila Prabhupada is trying to tell us that this is very rare, this human body is very, very rare. Please do not waste it. Please use every moment of this life to make constant advancement in Krishna consciousness. Constantly become very serious in Krishna consciousness. Do not frivolously waste your time. Time is of greatest essence. Time is of greatest importance. And the world is watching you. The world is definitely watching you. You are inspiring, knowingly and unknowingly, so many other human beings. If we become serious bhaktas, if we become serious sadhakas, so many people are watching us. The world has very small ears, but it has very big eyes. You see? So the world is watching. When you give instructions, sometimes you see that the person is not paying attention because he has small ears. He does not have the capacity to understand, but he has very big eyes. He's watching you. If you are a serious devotee, if you are a bright-faced person, if you are the person who is a good sadhaka, then the world is watching you. And one day, they will take up to your example. That is why it says, precept. Better than precept is example. Example is the way. Srila Prabhupada was a great devotee. Srila Prabhupada performed great sadhana, great works for Radha Madhava, for Radha Krishna, and therefore taking his example, so many young boys and girls, they were very much allured into taking Krishna consciousness. They could see that Srila Prabhupada was showing by example, and therefore we also have to show by example and become devotees first. There is a saying that do not be like a cow that distributes milk and eats grass for itself. So we should not be like that. We are distributing the milk of knowledge to the entire world, but we should also be drinking that same milk. We should also be experiencing the nectar in that milk. Not that we are eating material life for ourselves, we are eating grass for ourselves, and we are giving siksha to the whole world. It will not work. Or we will not be able to go on for very long. So just like Srila Prabhupada's prediction, when he said, these Indian boys and girls, they will come, and once they come, they will never leave. So we have to make this prediction correct. This is a race of not how you run it, but how you end it. The ending of the race is most important. And we should always keep that in mind, that Krishna consciousness is not a race for just running, but how we end the race. Maharaj Katvanga, he is showing us by example how he ended his race. You see, when the demigods told them that you only have one moment, one muhurta to live, he immediately knew what was he supposed to do at this time. He was supposed to become Krishna conscious. And that's what he did, and he achieved the kingdom of God. Same thing with Sukadeva Goswami, with Parikshit Maharaj. As soon as Parikshit Maharaj was cursed by the Brahmin boy, he did not become perturbed. He did not become angry. He did not say, oh, let me go back to my family and manage my kingdom very nicely and so that I can. No, he said, what is now the purpose of my life? What should I be doing now that my life is going to end in 7 days? What is my prime duty at this time? And that Sukadeva Goswami approached at that time, and he said, I will tell you, Parikshit Maharaj, I will tell you what is your prime duty. Your prime duty is to hear the wonderful glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, so that you can be thinking of Him, so that you can be loving Him, so that you can become attached to the Supreme Godhead and His leelas, and thereby, when you give up your body, you will be in full consciousness of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and thereby go back home, back to Godhead, to Him. So these are the examples. This Bhagavad Purana, this is why it is called Purana, all these Siddhantas of Vaishnava philosophy is given to us in form of wonderful narrations, stories, real incidences. And therefore, we can understand, we can take the example of these great Raja Rishis, these great kings, and we can also try to walk the same path of Krishna consciousness like they did. So, thank you very much. It's wonderful again to see all of you here performing Krishna consciousness. If there are any questions or comments, I can take for the next 5 minutes. Thank you. Hare Krishna.